Hello, and welcome to everyone joining in today. This is the Teenager Place podcast. Teenager Place is a nonprofit service organization based in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Teenager Place specializes in providing services to children and families. Our mission is simple, to provide services to children and families that inspire, empower, and heal. In today's episode, we will spend time with Jenny Knoll and Jordan Pinkney as they take a deeper dive into the mission of Teenager Place with CEO Opara Rice. Thank you again for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy this engaging interview.
She Z's. This is Jordan Pinkney, and co-hosting with me today is Jenny Knoll, our outpatient clinical manager. You want to say hi, Jenny?
Hi, everyone.
It's good to hear from you. We're going to get right into episode two, the mission of Teenager Place, which is providing services to children and families to spread empowerment, to inspire, and to heal. And today, we get to talk to the CEO of Teenager Place, Opara Rice. How are we doing today, sir?
Good. Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jenny.
Awesome. So we're going to talk about a few things. We're obviously going to talk about the mission, how it evolved, why the evolution through the 140-year age of Teenager Place. And then we're going to talk about some future plans and initiatives that this mission is going to have on the community. So let's just really start out with the basics, Opara. Why don't you tell us what inspired you to come to Teenager Place? And if I'm not mistaken, you came from New York. Is that right?
I was in New York and I went to Ohio. You got it down pretty good, Jordan. And so I was in Ohio. I was in Columbus, Ohio, before being recruited to come to Teenager. And for, you know, for me, I was looking for an opportunity to lead an organization. And I had very clear things that I wanted to see in that organization. And Teenager met every part of that and then some. And really, you know, flying out here, getting a chance to talk to the team and talk to the board and understand how incredible of a community this is, especially to raise a family. It was an easy decision for me and my wife to make that investment to come here and have never regretted it since.
Okay, so you said that the mission of Teenager Place matched your mission. So, I mean, I don't know if you have it written down or anything, but what was your mission that has really moved you across this country? Because you're originally from Chicago, right? That was where you were born and raised.
Yep.
And then you had a position in New York, and then obviously, as you just said, you were in Ohio just before you came to Iowa. So what was the mission that moved you through this country?
You know, for me, you know, I started as a youth worker, you know, seems like ages and ages ago. And so, you know, as I've, you know, taken on more positions, I've always wanted to be in positions that had impact and was helping make the lives of young people better. That's sort of my personal mission. And so looking for positions and opportunities where I could use my talents and build teams to accomplish that. And so I've been very lucky and I've had a tremendous network of mentors along the way and, you know, helped show me some doors at different times. And that's how I wound up out in New York. I was at a board meeting for a national board I'm on and a colleague said, "Hey, would you ever consider moving to New York? I have a large residential program. I think we may need someone like you." And that's how I wound up in New York. Never in a million years I think I wound up living in New York. And so, you know, it's just funny where life takes you. And so anyway, as you know, as we're in Ohio and a recruiter, a friend of mine who's no longer alive, you know, called me and said, "Hey, I have this job in Iowa and I think you'd be really good at it." And I had never driven to Iowa. I had never been through Iowa. I didn't know anything about Iowa. And he said, "Look, this place is different. The way they approach kids is different. Their philosophy about kids is different. And that it really aligns with the way you view the work." And so, you know, hopped on that plane, you know, came out and met with George Estill, who had been at that time at the helm for many, many years, 3 decades, and sat down with him and sat down with the board and just really, you know, it was clear to me that this was the place I needed to be, and it aligned with who I am and what I believe we should do for kids. And so it made a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I have never been to New York until just recently. And I can tell you firsthand what a difference it makes in the environment and just how society and the community has changed from New York to what we have here in Cedar Rapids. So I'm sure that was a big change for you as well. And so when you talk about how your mission moved you from place to place, Tanager Place's mission, even though we have sat here in Cedar Rapids for over 140 years, it has obviously evolved to maintain that foundation of what it represents, especially for the kids in the community. So Tanager Place mission evolved. How would you describe that evolution for Tanager Place throughout the 140 years?
You know, I think that we are very consistent in that we focus on youth. And that is going back from the very roots of the time with Eleanor Lund to today. The difference is we also understand that kids are not in isolation, right? They're not, they are part of a family structure. And so we do a lot more family work than maybe people realize, that we also understand systematic issues that also happen in communities. And so we do a lot of advocacy work as well. That's how we have evolved. We also are at the table for many conversations around issues that affect the community, even if we don't do that service in the community, right? And so part of it is that we have a team of people who have tremendous abilities and also are people who are very passionate about the community they serve. And so for us, part of our mission is to be an active participant in our community, and that be that globally, nationally, in statewide, you know, locally, that we are using our voice to advance what we know are best practices for kids. And so that is how we have evolved. And I think that will always be part of our roots. When I got here, my predecessor was very heavily involved in policy work. And so it's just a part of who we are. It's part of the DNA of the organization. But at the heart of that, it always comes back to that those things are efforts to advance best practices for young people and families. And so I think that has been one of the things that has survived the test of time.
I think it's fascinating that the executive leadership, as you and your entire group of people up top, are being able to just take the wheel and go after the things that Tanager Place needs so that the employees can continue following the mission that we're so closely niched in what we're doing. And I think it's fantastic to see all these different individuals from all the office positions down into the inpatient facilities, and how this mission has the same meaning, yet we all have our different roles to play to make this mission work. So it's really fun to watch how not only does it evolve, but we evolve as well inside of Tanager Place. Now, something really specific that I want to touch base on is the three final words of the mission, which is empowerment, inspiration, and healing. What is the meaning and the intentionality behind those words?
Well, let me backtrack a little bit, because the mission, you know, really changed over the last few years. And our previous mission was great. I mean, the mission statement was fine. It definitely spoke to who we were at the time. But as the organization continues to evolve, and we continue to expand prevention programming, and we expand the training offerings that we provide, we expand the way we interact with kids, it was clear that the mission statement didn't quite fit the organization we are today. And so we had a board member who joined us and who said, you know, the best mission statements really distill down to three key words. I think it was 3 to 5 key words that really everybody can remember, everybody can get behind. And so so that somebody asks you, what's your mission statement? You know, what's your mission? And everybody can say empower, inspire, and heal. And true to form, that's exactly what has happened. And it really talks about, because in any of those categories, it really talks about our work. So, you know, through our Training and Education Institute, you know, we are trying to do the best we can with inspiring and empowering families to have the information that they need to make good health decisions for their children, to help themselves heal, or to work on their resiliency factors, you know, inspiring kids through camp and through our affiliation with Youthport, also through some of our youth programming, through our LGBTQ center, through the support groups, our ASD program, right? And healing. I mean, we are a treatment organization. That is the core of who we are. And so all of our programming, everything that we do in this organization is a part of one of those three things. And it's literally pretty much a blend for most things that we do. And that is the beauty of those three words, is that it really does, first of all, stick in everyone's memory about this is who we are, this is what we're doing, but also that is true to the work that we're doing as well.
I see you as one of those leaders that doesn't just think in the moment and making today valuable. You think much further into the future. And would you agree that as we look further into the future, we're going to continue to evolve?
Oh, absolutely. I think if we look at, you know, even what's happening today, with the public health crisis that we're going through, that with the violence that's happening in the community, with what we know about schools and issues of disparity among minority children. When we look at health disparities, you know, across the spectrum, when we look at discrimination of LGBTQ youth and suicide rates, our society is changing before our very eyes. And either you can put your head in the sand and pretend and just keep doing the thing you've been doing for 20 years and think that's going to keep serving that need, or you're going to say, you know what, I think this is an area we need to look at. You know, can we improve our services? Is there gaps in services that we're not meeting for the community need? Again, the organization is there to serve the community. The community is not there to serve the organization. And that's the mindset you have to have. And that's how you evolve as an organization to meet that need. And so for me, I think it's ever changing. That's a constant thing. And so I do believe that as we go forward, we're going to learn more about what our society is going to look like post pandemic and where there are needs. I mean, if anything out of this pandemic, we have seen what anxiety has done to not only young people, but to families, depression, what isolation has done, what lack of human contact has done, you know, how economic pressures have affected people. And so there are things that I know that we're going to come out of this post-pandemic saying, you know, hey, I think we can do some work in this area. You know, this is something that's come up that we may want to lend our voice and our expertise to. And so so we will always be evolving for the right reasons. I have to stress that. We evolve because we are mission driven, and that our goal is to help families and to help kids. And so we always keep the mission at the forefront of everything that we do. And so, of course, we're going to evolve over time, and we should evolve over time, but it's going to be for the right reasons.
Absolutely. Now, to go into the next question, Jenny Knoll came up with a fascinating question that fits exactly with what you said. As we continue to grow and evolve, what are some ways in which Tanager Place can become even stronger in the mission fulfillment?
How to answer that is, one, I am not smart enough to think I know it all. That's one of the things that also is very unique about us is we don't believe innovation comes from the top down. It comes from the bottom up. And so a lot of ways we're going to fulfill mission are going to be people bringing ideas to the table saying, I think this is a way we can serve kids. That's how the LGBTQ Center came to us. It's really someone else saying, hey, we have this program. We think it has real benefit. How can we partner on it? And lo and behold, you know, this becomes a part of who we are and part of our umbrella, and is serving a population of kids that really do need you know, need help and need support and need love and need guidance. And so a lot of the work that we do, the camp, again, is another one, you know, so continue to expand, you know, camp offerings to meet certain populations and certain segments of kids that we may not be serving now. And so the reality is that we're going to evolve by the power and the talent and the creativity of our staff. They are the true heroes out there. They are the ones who are on the front lines, who are seeing where those gaps in services are. My job is to help make those things a reality and to be a part of that process and to help bring that innovation and that creativity out in people. And that's what's been so fun of being CEO is I am, you know, in meetings with people every week who are as passionate about serving kids as I am. And they always bring new ideas to the table. They are always challenging me to think outside the box. And I love that. And so when I look at where we may go, I think the sky's the limit. I think that we're going to probably be getting into writing some books to share some of our expertise. I think we're going to be doing more podcasts to share with parents and the community and the global community around ways to engage kids and to help young people and to help families. I think we're going to use the medium of teletherapy to make sure that we're helping in parts of the state that don't have a robust service system to make sure they're getting what they need. I think that we're going to continue to do training and share globally. That's one of the things that is a passion of mine and having an exchange program so that people can experience child, human services from all different parts of the world because we have those connections. I think that those are just some of the things on top of my head that we will continue to do. And our work in the schools, also, which has expanded, grown so much in the last few years, that's going to also continue to evolve. And what we offer in our outpatient clinic and in-home services, again, these are all things that 5 years ago looked different than they do today. They can look even more different 5 years from now. Integrated health homes, these programs that exist that we do all serve the mission. And so I think that as people, start to think about what is needed for communities, we're just going to continue to innovate.
The wild thing is, so I've been here for 11 years. When I started as a caseworker 7 years ago, there were only two teams of 6, 7, 8 people. But now, community-based has grown to over 40 caseworkers, and we continue to grow. The school-based therapists have just, that number has skyrocketed, and it's been such a great impact in the community. I think it's fantastic.
Part of that is that we are good stewards of the money, first of all. When people are kind enough to give resources to us, they know we're gonna use them wisely and that we're going to really be focused on making sure we're doing good work. And so we don't do things just for the sake of doing them. We really want to make sure we have quality programs. And I think that's what the community sees is that, again, we're not a perfect organization. No organization is perfect. Everyone has challenges. But that we are a learning organization who strives to do the best we possibly can. And I think that resonates in the community, and our genuineness and our openness and our transparency, I think, makes a big difference. And so I think this community is pretty incredible. And as you mentioned, the amount of support we've gotten has been just breathtaking. And so it's humbling to know that we do have people's trust and belief in our mission for us to do the work that we do.
Yeah. And I think it's also the passion of the staff that really bring in people to what we love is that passion that we get from people when they describe things. So when people hear about the passion they have working at Tanager Place, doing the things that they do, it really draws people in even more. They want to be a part of that. Jen, you're up. You had a question you wanted to ask. Go for it.
Yeah. And actually, Jordan, that brings up a great point, because what I'm curious about Opara is if you can tell us how that mission Teenager Place has, in regards to the services that we provide to provide services that empower, inspire, and heal, how does that also impact the internal system of Teenager Place in regards to how do we maintain a healthy organization, a healthy staff culture, make sure that people within our organization are given opportunities to work in a place that feels safe, that work in a place that they have a sense of connection and belonging to, and kind of continue to feel their own sense of growth.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, one of the things as we continue to grow, this is one of the challenges, right? You know, when you're a 100-person organization is very different than when you're 250 people and still growing and having more people in the community, not even office-based, right? So one of the things that, and I know it's going to speak about now, right? We're in the midst of, taping this during a pandemic, right? And everyone has, for the most part, except for our inpatient program, has been remote. Yet I have been on Zoom calls with groups of people, and how the sharing that people have around ideas, the sharing that people have around how to engage young people, it is literally like everybody is still in that room together. And what happens is, what I see is that we have people who are so committed to helping kids, and that part of the culture never changes. Do we have stress sometimes? Yes. Do we have people sometimes that is not mission driven, who this isn't the right organization for them? Of course we do. But what we do is we don't run away from having conversations about culture. We don't run away from saying, hey, this doesn't feel right, or this we feel a little bit off. Let's stop and talk about this. And that is unique to organizations, because sometimes, again, you can put your head in the sand and just ignore these things are happening. And slowly over time, it erodes culture. People don't want to work there. People don't feel valued. People don't feel heard. That's not who we are. One of the things for me as a leader that has always been important, and it may drive some people crazy, it may not, is I have a complete open door policy for staff. So I get emails from people all the time up and down our organization who bring ideas, who bring concerns, who bring, kind of questioning something I may have decided that is their right as an employee to ask me about any decision I've made. And that's true to form. And that people have access to their leadership. And with that access comes better communication and less mystery about things, right? And so that helps make the culture, what it is. But that we're an organization that is always learning, always evolving. And we are not afraid to say when we make mistakes and to say, I'm sorry, and to make sure that we are listening to people, and also that people feel valued. And we work at that every single day. And so there's no magic bullet for that. It takes a dedication of each employee who works there to be a part of a positive culture, and a leadership team of managers and supervisors, directors, vice presidents, everyone to say, this is important to us. And our staff are just as important as our young people that we serve. And that's what we've tried to do.
Seems like there's kind of this underlying theme that goes along with that mission, that everyone matters. Doesn't matter what level you are at within our organization or within the community or a person that we serve, everybody has the same worth to Tanager Place.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about it, if you believe you want to do good work in the community and work with young people and work with families, you have got to have that same mindset and spirit about how you treat the people who are on your team. Otherwise, it doesn't work. And that will be reflected in the work with our young people. And so it's very clear that our employees all matter. Absolutely, they matter, because they are the ones who are out there fighting every day to make the lives of kids and families better. And so it's my job to make sure they know that they matter, and to make sure we have an organization whose culture says they matter, and that we're always putting that at the forefront of all the work that we're doing. Because ultimately, it's going to pay off for our consumers and the people that we work with.
It's so interesting how at Tanager Place, everybody has an interaction with the mission, which is something that really has grown over the last couple of years, that people have this confidence of knowing what the mission is and knowing exactly what it means to them and the work that they do and into the community as a whole. I'm curious, when you think about all of the different people involved in the organization, we have staff members, we have leaders, we have community members, we have advocates, volunteers, clients, all of those different people. And it seems like they all have an equal opportunity to be somehow contributing to the mission of Tanager Place. What would be your message to any one of those people and how they could further contribute to the mission of Tanager Place or can continue to see it grow?
You know, what I would say is, I would love to hear from people about what parts of the mission speak the most to them and why, and to ask them what are the things that not only fill their bucket, right, that make them feel so positive about coming to work and so positive about Tanager. I think I would start there with that question and to see what's said there, because I think what we can do and what we continue to do is to provide people opportunities to experience different parts of the work that make them feel whole, to challenge people so that they are constantly professionally growing as well, and to provide opportunities for them to be engaged in the mission at different levels. And so that's how to approach that. You know, that's part of what it means to be a learner organization, is also giving people opportunities to sort of expand outside of their comfort zone, to span a little bit outside of the work they're doing, and so they can participate in different things. You know, when you look at our symposium, when you look at our opportunities for training, when you look at opportunities for volunteerism or leading different groups or volunteering at different parts of the organization, or even being a part of different boards in the community, those are all things that help people be connected to the mission, to help people be connected to the larger community as a whole, which ultimately makes them feel more satisfied about the work they're doing day to day as well.
What's something that you do on a regular basis to reconnect you with that mission that it seems so near and dear to your heart?
Oh, wow. That's, you know, for me, I am very lucky. I'm a social worker, you know, by training. And so, you know, for me, working with kids directly has not been a part of what I have done for many years now. However, every single day I speak with people in our organization who do that work, and hearing them and hearing their enthusiasm and hearing when they have connected the dots with something or making sure a young person has what they need or a family has what they need or making a community connection with people that's going to help a family, that stuff vicariously makes me feel really, really good. It just does. And that excitement in people's voice and that passion, that makes me really excited. And though a lot of our young people and families would never even know who I am or know any part of the work that I do, I believe I'm a part of that wheel, right? I'm just one of the spokes in the wheel that helps make sure they have what they need. And so I have learned, you know, many years ago to enjoy hearing those stories from other people. And then when there's also interaction, you know, that I also take those moments, you know, very seriously.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite things, and I think I've shared this with you, my favorite things to do is to just walk down the halls of any of our programs and see the smiles on some of those kids' faces. And you have no idea what's going on in life, but in that moment, they're feeling really happy and excited and hopeful. And I think that's one of the most beautiful images for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it matters. It matters a great deal. And because it just makes you feel whole. And that's something that I've learned to appreciate over the years.
I think one of the most exciting things about being at Tanager Place, Jen, you totally nailed it on the button, was when you walk through the hallways. The one thing that I really enjoy as a caseworker is there are kids that I end up seeing that I haven't worked with, but they call me by name. They tell me how they're doing, something they've learned, something to connect me in the individual together with something geek related or a new hobby or new interest. And it's always been such a fun thing to make these kids feel like it's a family, like it's a home for them. It's not just a safe space, it's a place where they could be themselves and they can, you know, shine that little bit of light that they've received from their caseworker or their therapist and put it out onto another employee. Just to share that, you know, Tanager Place represents that. And the passion of our employees represents that. Even when I go to inpatient, it's such a hard, hard position to be at is inpatient. And the staff just keep going because they want to keep that light shining. They want to keep that mission, that passion, and get these kids to where they know that they can get these kids. And I absolutely love that.
But I love what we do. I love what we stand for. I love that we have 250 people, you know, on our teams who are committed to helping kids and families, and that that's not just lip service, that is literally how we go about our work each and every day. And that is, again, you know, I think that makes us really unique and an organization that we can all be proud of. And so I am very proud to be a part of it. I'm proud to be in the role I am, the role I'm in to help help facilitate that and clear obstacles so people can continue to do the amazing work that they do.
Opara, thank you so much for having this conversation with us. So from Jordan Pinckney here at Tanager Place and the podcast team, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope you all have a wonderful day. Keep soaring above the difficult things, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us on the Tanager Place podcast. If you are interested in learning more from Tanager Place's podcast series, or curious if services at Tanager Place may be of support to yourself or someone you know, visit our website at www.tanagerplace.org for more details.